Grace Baptist Church, I'm glad you're here, and with your Bibles, would you please come to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I'd like to read a few passages of Scripture in the same spirit that we've been talking about previously on taking out the trash here in James 1. And we read in verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Then in verse 21, "Wherefore, lay apart, cast aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again tonight for the word of God, for the blessing of your presence, and for the potentials that are here in this matter of prayer. We are glad, dear Heavenly Father, that you hear us and you delight in what we bring. So insofar as we bring it according to the will of God, thou knowest our hearts, and you know what the motive is that drives the request that we make. And we would desire above all and in everything that you be glorified. Help us in this for Jesus' sake. Amen. So here you have in James 1, lay apart all filthiness, no exceptions. The immorality, the naughtiness or the wickedness. There is also in James chapter 4 in the 8th verse where there is the correlation between hands and heart. If you look there in James 4, the 8th verse, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Since if so be that the garbage has been taken out, God, of course, is not at all inclined to a stinky fellowship, whether it is your feet, as would be in John chapter 13, foot washing, or whether it is here your hands or your heart. And the verse says, draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Of course, the hands and the heart have direct reference to what Paul talks about to the Corinthians in that passage we've looked at in 2 Corinthians 7:1 that has to do with the flesh and the spirit. Hands and heart, flesh and spirit. Internal, external. What drives or what is seen on the outside ought to be a accurate and reasonable reflection of what's really on the inside. And it is there in the heart of things is where the trash may tend to accumulate. And here James says, lay it aside, cast it off, put it out. In 1 Peter chapter 1, another reference. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. I beg your pardon. We find the same expression again that we did when we started the study in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice, notice the things that must be taken out to the dump, lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. So you have a number of things there. Malice. You have the guile, the trickery, the deception, the tendency to be fakey or pretentious. You have the hypocrisies, the acting, living in such a way as it's just a facade rather than coming out of the heart in all sincerity. You have the ill will. In the concept of envies, and our attention would be drawn to the life of King Saul for David. All he did was manifest envious spirit simply because David was receiving a bit more applause, so to speak, than he ever had. And so he says, all this thing put aside. And the evil speakings, of course, we've talked about too, is the backbiting or the defamation of character. And we understand that these things are tantamount to the garbage that must be removed. Now, come back to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. With all the things that we just mentioned and the things that we have talked about previously, such as anger and wrath and blasphemy and filthy communication and lying and so forth, these things can, if they're not diligently taken care of, be like things that pile up. And in the first verse of Hebrews chapter 12, we get a little picture here. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us lay aside, let us cast off, throw aside, take to the dump every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. The picture here is that sometimes evil are like the bystanders at a race or the spectators at a race. They're always hanging around. And sometimes, as has been the case, not often, but frequently, sometimes the spectators get too close to the track and they obstruct the runners. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes accidentally. But they're always there. And in spite of every warning and every precaution to move people back, inevitably there's somebody that monkeys the race up. So the picture here is the kind of weight and the sin that seems to be always hanging around in the sense of it's always a temptation. People tend to categorize sin, black sin, white sins, you know, like the little white lies or the black lies. People tend to view sins in a certain order of severe to moderate to less severe. And generally, even Christian people, sadly, if the authors, the old brothers in their commentaries and devotional booklets had any idea of what life was like for the average Christian, many Christians have what we term as pet sins. We know in our heart of hearts that we coddle certain things and we make room for certain things. We don't. And if somebody points the finger, we maybe become defensive that's really not an issue, nothing to be concerned about. And so we protect it. And therefore, it always is in a position to obstruct the race of life. It is a temptation. And in this particular place in Hebrews chapter 12, it's something that we don't maybe look at as a sin. We look at it more as a character flaw. I'll put it that way, a character flaw. We don't want to call it sin, but it can be, and it's right here in the setting here. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run with patience. Now, that again, that besetting is the kind of sin that's like a temptation. It's always standing around, always is tempting, always it is just relentless. And so what is the greatest thing at all, the greatest temptation for the Christian when running the race of life? When you think about the integration of patience into your character, is it not that when it comes to matters of Christian living, practical Christian living, such as prayer times, Bible study times, your personal work with individuals in your family, when you fail to see or perceive fruit, all of a sudden patience escapes and you are tempted to quit. You stop praying earnestly and fervently. You stop witnessing consistently and effectively. Because you've been in the race so long and you've not seen any fruit from it, you tend to back away from it. And in those particular instances, can it indeed become sin? We are told here in this verse, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The race of the Christian life has only one finish line. It has only one finish. There's no retirement in the Christian race. The finish line is death or the rapture. And we're in the race until one or the other happens. Now, it has to be done with patience. It's not to be characterized as a sprint. A sprint begins rapidly and is over just before you can blink an eye. This kind of a race, it goes on and on and on and on. Sometimes you have a sense of victory. Sometimes you have a sense of making progress. And other times it is as though you're walking on a treadmill or you're making or gaining no ground at all. And you're tempted simply to cast everything aside. And I think there becomes a problem. Now, there's counsel here in the context in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And we read, you know, there are a number of things here in verse like 33 and 34 that could tend to stifle your running the race. But it says in verse 35, cast not away your confidence. In other words, don't take your confidence to the dump. That's one thing you want to keep. That's one thing you keep. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence with which hath great recompense of reward. And then verse 36, a forthright statement. You have need of what? You have need of patience. Now, patience in the context here, like, for example, verse 34. How much patience would you exhibit in a situation like this in verse 34? You had compassion of me and my bonds, says the writer, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. You took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Now, maybe once, maybe twice, but if after recovery it happens again and again and again, pretty soon you wear thin on the patience. And so it becomes tempting then for you to be able to justify casting aside your confidence. It becomes tempting. And this is something that sort of like as a catch 22 for everything that we've talked about up to this point is this portion in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. You remember when the Apostle Paul in his epistle to the Philippians, in that third chapter, verses 13 and 14, he said something about we forget the things that are behind, and we reach forth, we press forward unto those things that are before. But we reach and we press, two words that imply an action, an aggressive action on our part, rather than a relenting or winding down. Go into Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, just for a minute. Luke 21. In this little section between verses 7 and 19, very eschatological in its instruction. Speaking of earthquakes there in verse 11, we've had two more here, two fresh ones. Not that I revel in that, but I just count up from last week to this week. Bang, 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 bang. About 7 of them. Different places. Same general area. But anyhow, verse 12 says, "Before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogue and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. You shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of the you shall they cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish." In that context, now verse 19 says, "In your patience, possess your souls." In your patience, possess your souls. Patience is a word that suggests being pressed under something and you are permitting it. It is, as the illustration given years and years ago, for the sake of all simplicity, it is to have someone inadvertently stand on your toes, not knowing it, and you, rather than reacting violently or foolishly, you stand there and bear up under the pain and the pressure being put on you. That's patience. And it says here, in patience, possess your souls. Possess your souls. Cast not away your confidence. That doesn't go to the dump. Out of everything we've talked about, confidence in your God, in the Word of God, does not go to the dump. Circumstances does not or should not alter or chip away at your patience. As a matter of fact, you back up a couple of pages in Luke 18. And the first verse. And you have an illustration. It's easy to quit this. Easy to quit verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1. "He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Not to faint. It's very tempting to leave off prayer when you do not see outward or immediate results with regard to your praying. As a matter of fact, Paul told the Galatian Christians, he said, "Be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not." Galatians 6:9. If you faint not, be not weary in well-doing, you shall reap if you faint not. And he saw, and again to the Corinthian Christians, he says, "Be ye steadfast, unmovable." And here's the encouragement: "Cast not away your confidence." He says, "Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always." But in order for that to happen, all the trash that can pile up in the human heart must be taken, deposited in the dump. Trash cannot be permitted to accumulate in your hearts or on our hands. God desires both hand and heart to be pure. In patience, possess your souls. And keep in mind, if you let that besetting sin hang around, it'll hang around. And it will always be to you a stumbling block. And remember this, as it regards prayer. If we permit any trash to accumulate in our heart, then prayer becomes ineffectual. If we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. It's imperative then that the trash be taken out to the dump every day. Every day. Would you pray with me?